Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Repentance, a Historical Perspective. Charles Spurgeon said, if the professed convert distinctly and deliberately declares that he knows the Lord's will, but does not mean to attend to it, you are not to pamper his presuppositions, but it is your duty to assure him that he is not saved. End of quote. Let's talk about Chafer and Ironside on the issue of repentance. Both Lewis Berry Chafer, who lived from 1871 to 1952, and H.A. Ironside, who lived from 1876 to 1951, were key leaders and good friends in the development of fundamentalism. Both were godly men that were greatly used of God. However, on the issue of repentance, they had divergent views, and that diversity of thought continues to be reflected in the conservative theological circles of our day. The debate over easy believism, Chafer, versus the need for repentance, Ironside, continues to this day. Chafer said, quote, the conclusion of the matter is that while covenant people are appointed to national or personal adjustment to God by repentance as a separate act, there is no basis either in reason or revelation for the demand to be made that an unregenerate person in this age must add a covenant person's repentance to faith in order to be saved. When entering upon this phase of study, it is necessary to eliminate all portions of the New Testament, which introduced the word repentance in its relation to covenant people. End of quote. It's found in Chafer's Systematic Theology Unabridged, Volume 3, page 376 and 377. In contrast, Ironside said, only recently the statement was made by one who should have known better, quote, repentance is Jewish. Jews could repent because they were in covenant relation with God and had violated that covenant. But Gentiles have never known such a relationship. They are dead sinners. Therefore, they cannot repent until they are born of God. This is a bit of choice, ignorant exposition. This is a choice bit of ignorant exposition that would be laughable were it not so dangerous. Ironside, in his book, Unless You Repent, page 45. Now note, we don't know who Ironside had in mind, but it certainly has application to Chafer's words. Chafer said, quote, from this overwhelming mass of irrefutable evidence, kind of a strong statement, it is clear that the New Testament does not impose repentance upon the unsaved as a condition of salvation. Chafer, in his Systematic Theology Unabridged, Volume 3, page 376. In contrast, Ironside said, true forgiveness is by faith, and there can be no faith without repentance, and no repentance without faith. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Ironside, in his book, Unless You Repent, page 39. Well, all of this is the background for what James Montgomery Boyce said, quote, the Dallas School, Dallas Theological Seminary, speaks of repentance, but because it does not want to acknowledge a need for behavioral change, it redefines repentance to mean only a change of mind concerning who Jesus is, irrespective of any reference to sin. This is Boyce in Whatever Happened to the Gospel of Grace, page 143. Note, I would not necessarily color all related to Dallas Seminary with this brush. But this explains why John MacArthur said, Chafer could rightly be called the father of the 20th century no lordship theology. He listed repentance and surrender as two of the more common features of human responsibility, which are too erroneously added to the one requirement of faith or belief. It's John MacArthur in his book Faith Works, page 228. Well, here's the bottom line. Saving faith involves repentance, which is a change of mind with regard to both sin and Christ. This is an indissoluble package, as Iron so aptly stated. The nature of a true saving faith is consistent throughout the ages, even though the revelation of God was progressive, Hebrews 11. A true saving faith is a change of mind, repentant kind of faith. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.